I'm not by nature an Eeyore character, always seeing problems and never the bright side of things. But this Christmas, while I hope most of us were deep in the message of Luke and Matthew, comfort and joy, I was thinking about the letter to the Hebrews, because he himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. And to me, that is the great Christmas message. It's Emmanuel, God with us, a God who knows all about suffering. It's been particularly important to me this year, as we've had a good deal of suffering in the parish in the last few weeks. We've had deaths and the onset of illness, and as so often, bad things have happened to good people. As ministers in the parish, Susie and I have a first responsibility to bring comfort, if not instant joy, to the bereaved and the suffering. But it also falls to us to reflect on why bad things happen to good people. Our parishioners are too polite to say, well, where was your God when my husband was dying? Or why was it my wife who died? She hadn't done anybody any harm, and we had so much to look forward to. Or how can God allow so much suffering in the world? If God really is a God of love, where is he when we feel abandoned? Where is God now? These are big questions, and the Bible provides glimpses of an answer in the Old Testament, and perhaps a fulfillment in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the book of Job sets out the problem of undeserved suffering. Remember, in the book of Job, God hands over Job to the devil to see if he can be tested and will eventually renounce God. And Job is, in quotes, comforted by three friends, and the arguments about undeserved suffering are set out. To help us this morning, I want to call on four characters to help us today. The characters are God, Jesus Christ, a rabbi from Natick, Massachusetts, and Superman. And I should tell you that I've seen two of these characters, and two I've not yet met, but I'll tell you about that later on. The first character to help us is a rabbi, Harold Kushner. He wrote a book that has sold in millions, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Many of us who've read the book think mistakenly we may have read why bad things happen to good people. But Harold Kushner doesn't try to explain so much as to why things happen, but what to do when they happen. He draws on Psalm 121. Lift up my eyes, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? And the psalmist doesn't ask why, where does my malignant tumor come from, or why did that terrible accident happen? He doesn't seek to explain or understand the tragedy, finds a way to help. And his answer, Harold Kushner says, must be our answer as well. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Stuff happens. We cannot explain everything. We just have to get through it as best we can. Harold Kushner's book is excellent, but at the end I found myself thinking, well, that's the Old Testament. Thank heavens we have the New Testament. As any rabbi would, Harold Kushner looks at the book of Job. I've always had some problems with the book of Job. I don't actually believe in a God who hands people over to the devil to see if he can have a bit of fun with them and put them to a trial. That's not the sort of God in which I believe. But it does have these good arguments about undeserved illness. So to take the argument in the book of Job, Harold Kushner says that if God is both just and powerful, then Job must be a sinner who deserves what's happening to him. If Job is good and God causes his suffering, then God is not just. If Job deserved better and it was not God who sent his suffering, then God is not all-powerful. Harold Kushner believes in God's goodness and in Job's goodness, and is therefore obliged to give up his belief in the proposition that God is all-powerful. Bad things do happen to good people in this world. It's not God who wills it. God would like people to get what they deserve in life, but he cannot always arrange it. Forced to choose between a good God who is not totally powerful or a powerful God who is not totally good, the author of the book of Job chose to believe in God's goodness. In a way, of course, it would be comforting to believe in an all-wise, all-powerful God who guaranteed fair treatment and happy endings, reassuring us that everything happened for a reason. it'd be comforting in the way the religion of Job's friends was comforting. But it would work only as long as we didn't take the problem of innocent victims seriously. When we have met Job, when we have been Job, we cannot believe in that sort of God any longer without giving up our own right to feel angry, to feel that we have been badly treated. From that perspective, there ought to be a sense of relief in coming to the conclusion that God is not doing this to us. If God is a God of justice and not of power, then he will still be on our side when bad things happen to us. He can know that we are good and honest people who deserve better. Our misfortunes are not of his doing, and we can turn to him for help. Our question will not be Job's question, God, why are you doing this to me? But rather, God, see what is happening to me. Can you help me? We will turn to God, not to be judged or forgiven, but to be, not to be rewarded or punished, but to be strengthened and comforted. We will be able to turn to God for things he can do to help us, instead of holding an unrealistic expectation of him, which will never come about. We can be angry at what has happened to us without feeling that we're angry with God. More than that, we can recognize in our anger at life's unfairness, our instinctive compassion at seeing people suffer as coming from God. It is God who teaches us to be angry at injustice and to feel compassion for the afflicted. We can feel that our indignation and anger is God's indignation and anger. When we cry out, we are on God's side and he is still on ours. Yet we have to accept that some things happen for no reason, that there's a randomness in the universe. And for some people that's hard to grasp. For example, my wife Carol always has to try and find a reason for everything. Perhaps the worst phrase for a random happening is the insurance company's act of God. Harold Kushner reminds us that God created this universe out of chaos. The earth was formless and chaotic. God fashioned a world whose overriding principle was orderliness and predictability. Although he gave himself 6 days, suppose pockets of chaos still remain. There is, as it were, unfinished business. Random things happen. The terrible fires in Australia, a fan by winds that sometimes veer off or jump an area. That's not because some family. And the other spared is not a choice made by God. Can he really have had a plan that one family would suffer terrible death by asphyxiation and burning, and the next door neighbor lived on to a ripe old age? Or should God have intervened to wipe out illness or stop a car in its tracks before an accident? That's part of the plot of Superman, the movie. Lois, his girlfriend, dies in an accident, and Superman was able to turn the world round backwards so that time had stopped and could start afresh with Lois still alive. But you cannot have a God micromanaging the world to avert every disaster. One person's disastrous moment may have been the moment of great happiness for someone else. Where would it stop? We have to accept that there are random happenings which a just and loving God finds as distressing as we do. God is not Superman, endlessly popping in and out of our time and space. It becomes easier to take God seriously as the source of moral values if we don't hold him responsible for all the unfair things that happen in this world. So much of what is harmful in the world comes from decisions made by bad people. In order to let us be free, in order to let us be human, God has to leave us free to choose to do right and to do evil. If we're not free to do evil, then we're not free to do good either. One reason is that our being human leaves us free to hurt each other, and God cannot stop us without taking away the freedom that makes us human. Human beings can cheat each other, rob each other, hurt each other, and God can only look down in pity and compassion and see how little we have learned over the ages about how human beings should behave. When people ask, where was God in Auschwitz? How can you permit the Nazis to kill so many innocent men and women and children? The response is that it was not God who caused it. It was caused by human beings using their freedom and choosing to be cruel to their fellow men. God does not control man's choosing between good and evil. And speaking of Auschwitz, Harold Kushner has to believe that God was indeed there. But he was with the victims and not with the murderers. So what is the point of God? We have to recognize his limitations. He's limited in what he can do by laws of nature. He's limited by the evolution of human nature and human moral freedom. We no longer should believe and hold God responsible for illnesses, accidents, natural disasters, because there's little to be gained and much to lose when we blame God for these things. I can only worship a God who hates suffering and accidents. Some are caused by bad luck, some are caused by bad people, and some are simply the inevitable consequence of our being human. When bad things happen, we don't need to try to explain them or blame God, ourselves, or other people for them. That can raise pointless questions. A better question would be, now this has happened to me, what am I going to do about it? So far, Harold Kushner has, I hope, helped us see that God is not responsible for the ills of the earth, and that we can enlist his help, and that of our friends, to make sense of life and to support us. Which brings me to the exciting news of good news in the letter to the Hebrews, not a place you normally look for great, exciting good news. In referring to Jesus, it says, because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he's able to help those who are being tested. And the whole point of the Christmas message is Emmanuel, God with us. We have a God who became like us. He knows our suffering. On the cross, he felt the greatest pain the man had invented to inflict on another human being. And Jesus came to reflect God's enduring love, his chesed, for his creation. God is a God of mercy, and Jesus had compassion as his defining characteristic. Time and again, we're told that Jesus had compassion on the crowd, or Jesus had compassion on an individual. And when he was asked about an accident that killed 18 people at the Tower of Siloam, he specifically rejects the argument that it happened because they were sinners. He told his listeners to worry about their own failings and not to be pointing the finger at other people. Earlier on, I told you that I've seen two of the characters I referred to in this reflection. Well, I've seen Superman, or rather Christopher Reeves, the actor who played him. I saw him at a charitable event in London, and he came across a really nice man. And you may know that he died at an early age as a result of an accident. He taught himself to ride a horse, and he had an accident. And he survived for some time after that with illness, and set up a foundation to treat people, to help people who were treated with spinal injuries and things like that. So he was a good man, and even as he was dying, he tried to do good things. So I have seen Superman. Haven't yet met God, but I hope that one day I will. Haven't met Rabbi Harold Kushner, he's still alive, but I have met Jesus Christ. He is God Emmanuel. So I see him in all of you. I see him active in our lives, particularly when he shares our suffering. And I met him here in church this morning, or I meet him whenever I come to communion. In the words of John Betjeman's great poem, no love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the staple shaking bells can with this truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. Thinking about suffering and what we have to bear, some months ago, I preached on the Serenity Prayer. I've seen it help people, endless people. It's the prayer used Alcoholics Anonymous in their meetings, their fellowship meetings. And I think it's helpful to us when we are suffering. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.